The impact on bookstores delayed the return of our summer book segment, but today and for three more weeks after this, we visit with independent bookstores for a segment we call Summer Reads. This week, we check in with Sheila Burns, the co-owner of Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Sheila, welcome back to The Exchange.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And what's the current status of opening? Imagine you were closed for at least a little while.
Yes, we were closed. We did curbside for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then we opened on May very, very carefully. We limit the number of people. Everybody wears a mask. There are patterns around the store. You use hand sanitizer when you come into the store. So we've made it as safe as I can make it.
So the patterns on the floor, it seems like every retailer in the country has learned something about either using paint or masking tape. Or
You do. You don't want people engrossed in books bumping into each other. So they go one direction.
I was looking for some figures on book sales for this and some earlier segments. It seems like e-books went up during the pandemic, and obviously paper books went down, but I think only about 1% because, you know, people were still buying books even if they couldn't get to bookstores, it seems like.
People were buying books, and Ashland really supported us when we were doing the curbside. I did home deliveries for a while. And people would, they still do. People call in with orders. We get them ready for them. They call us when they're outside, and we put them in the trunk of their car or in their back window. So they, I mean, if you want no contact, we'll get the books for you.
Okay. So you've given us a rather impressive list of books to talk about here. And just at the outset, what kinds of books do you personally tend to gravitate to?
Well, I think I've been reading differently. Through the pandemic, it's at first I couldn't read novels, which only happens to me when I'm greatly distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a lot of nature books. One book I wanted to talk to was What It's Like to Be a Bird. Mm-hmm. By David Sibley, because nature has been the one thing that hasn't been denied us, and it's a beautiful big book. It's not a guide to birds. It's a book about birds. Behavior with his beautiful illustrations, and it's a great family book. I was reading this morning about jays, because I had some jays on my porch, about how they're so smart. You know, they can, you know, find a peanut or something. They hide like 1,000 different things, and they remember where they hid it. And it was talking about, you know, if they notice another bird is watching them, they'll go ahead and bury it, and then they'll go up, and they'll wait for the bird to fly away, and then they'll dig it up, and they'll rebury it. So, I mean, it's just got these wonderful anecdotes in it, and that has been selling a lot. It went on the bestseller list.
And David Allen Sibley, we should point out, is very well versed. He's the Sibley Birds East, Sibley Birds West. I mean, there are all kinds of Sibley guides out there.
He's known as the... He is. He's one of the illustrators, and he is one of the authorities on birds in the world.
Mm-hmm. So that was your nonfiction refuge for a bit, but then it looks like you've got a pretty good, pretty healthy collection of fiction here. But
I do have a lot of fiction. I hardly know where to start. I'll start with one where I didn't have it on the list, mm-hmm. and Susan Chapman, one of the owners of the store, said, "Well, you're going to do this Tender Land, aren't you?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Wayne Kent Kruger. And I said, "I haven't read it." And she said, "That is an easy book." And by an easy book, we mean something that you can sell it to one customer and they love it and the word will spread. And we've had like 3 different book groups are doing this. And one woman came back and said, "You know, this is the first book in 5 years that every one of my book club loves." So I thought I should read it. I've spent the last 3 days doing it. It was hard to put down. And it's in paperback. And it's this Tender Land. And it's a wonderful odyssey. It's set in 1932. So I guess the connection with the pandemic, it's set in hard times. It's set at an Indian boarding school in Minnesota, where Indian children were forcibly taken from their parents, where the motto was, "Kill the Indian, bring out the man," mm-hmm. which meant bring out the white man, of course. And the school is horrible. They're terribly abused. And 4 children, including one named William Kent Kruger, is not subtle about this, one named Odysseus, called Odie, and his brother, and an Indian child who's mute, and a little girl, escape. And they go down the Mississippi. They're trying to get to St. Louis, and their adventures are a mythic journey. And they come up with revivalism, hucksters. They come up with these hobo camps called Hoovervilles that actually existed. There was actually one that was 6,000 people. It is such a great journey. It's just a mythic journey, grapes of wrath, but just great storytelling. It's I would just highly recommend it.
So a little bit of Odysseus in there, too, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask you about the top of your list has Hamlet by Maggie O'Leary.
It's called Hamnet. That's with an N instead of an L.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yes.
He actually used the name interchangeably. And everybody knows, I mean, we're also aware of Shakespeare in this town, but very little is known about his life. But this wonderful, I love Maggie O'Farrell, great novelist, great essayist. She took just bare facts that that Hamlet was married to a woman named Anne, called interchangeably Agnes, and he had three children, a girl and then twins. One was named Hamnet. And Hamnet never said he died during the plague, nobody knows, but that's when the plague hit. And she takes what the minimum facts, and she writes a wonderful, wonderful novel. She never even mentions William Shakespeare by his name, but that's of course who it is. Mm-hmm. And they lose a child. I think the heroine of the novel is Anne, Agnes, and she's just extraordinary. What Shakespeare has in his literature, she has in a deep sort of old English wisdom. And it's a story of their marriage, of people grieving for a child, of struggling, of going through hard times. And it's just delightful with the detail she has of what it's like in Tudor times, Elizabethan times. I think it's 1598. What it's like in a Glover's house. She lived with Shakespeare's family in Avon while he was in London writing plays. Anyway,
right, yeah,
the reviews on it were so good, we couldn't get it in stock. And when I read it a while ago in a review copy, I thought, oh, this is going to be my big summer tours book. And it has been. It's been so popular, it immediately had to do a reprinting on it. But.
Wow, so transcending even, for example, the loss of the Shakespeare Festival for the summer.
Yeah, right. So.
We're talking to Sheila Burns, the co-owner of Bloomsbury Books in Ashland, for this week's edition of Summer Reads. We do have a Summer Reads segment because enough bookstores are open to be able to have a segment. Huzzah! and so we're hearing what Sheila has in the way of ideas for books. Why don't you pick off the list because we probably won't get them all in, so I want to make sure we get the ones that you value the most.
Well, I think that I have to mention Splendid and the Vile. Mm-hmm. I keep selling that. I keep hand-selling it. It's about Churchill. It's about the Blitz. 45,000 people were killed. It was, they united under this one leader who could actually give them courage, could give them purpose. And, until the book starts, in 1939, and it ends when America joins the war. At that point, I think they felt like they had hope. But it's this great portrait of Churchill, in the bathtub all the time with his cigar, carrying a cat, his great white Clementine, his really interesting daughter, Mary, who they called a mouse, who became, actually took a part in the war as an anti-gunner when she was just 21. I really recommend that. And then if you're going to go for more escape, there are a couple of mysteries that I really liked. This Vanishing Half, The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. It's a story about race. It's a story about gender. Twins in a town in Louisiana the town was deeded by their great-great-grandfather was the son of a plantation owner and a slave. And for some reason, they kept the town very white. They kept trying to just keep their skin white. And so nobody married anybody with dark skin, but they were black people. And so the twins at 16, after their father has been lynched and their mother works as a maid, realize they have no life there. And they go to Louisiana and then California, and one of them marries the blackest man she could find, and the other passes for white and isn't seen again for years. And the vanishing half is like the twin. I mean, it's about the loss of that, but it's also trying to accept who you are. There's a person who changes gender. There's the loss. It's about loss, mm-hmm. And it's a great story. She reminds me of Toni Morrison. She's that good. This is Britt Bennett in The Vanishing Half.
I've noticed other comparisons, too. I'm just looking at some of the reviews here, like people recalling or comparing Britt Bennett's work with Toni Morrison, also James Baldwin and Jacqueline Woodson.
She's that good. This is her second. The Mothers was a great book, too. I mean, she's hit two really, really good books. She's I think she's one of our important writers now. And it's, you know, we're doing a Black Lives Matter window, and that's what's really selling. I mean, that's, you know, all the how to be an anti-racist, me and white supremacy, white fragility. And people, is they're just not buying it just to feel self-righteous. We're selling it to book groups. They're having discussion groups on it. It's really inspiring.
How big a collection in the Black Lives Matter window?
Oh, go see it. There are tons of books. I mean, we put out everything by, you know, Toni Morrison and James Baldwin, and there's stuff for children, middle school and young children.
Oh, good. All ages then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're again talking to Sheila Burns here on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of Summer Reads. She's the co-owner of Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Let me review so far. We have What It's Like to Be a Bird by David Sibley. This Tender Land by William Kent Kruger, Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell, Splendid and the Vile by Eric Larson, and we've gotten up to Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett.
Okay. Do you have time for something with probably no redeeming literary value,
sure.
But it's a lot of fun?
Uh-huh.
Okay. one of the first books I could read was a mystery, and when I was a teenager, I used to read Agatha Christie, and Lucy Foley has written a book. She's a British writer, and she's incredibly popular in England. And she's made the bestseller list now with this new book, The Guest List. And it is like a classic Agatha Christie mystery, except it's modern. And it's set on an island off the coast of Ireland, and it's a bridal party. And it's just very atmospheric, and somebody is killed at the very beginning, and you don't know who's killed or why they were killed, and it's just, you know, it's just complete escapism. I really, really like her. I'm going to go back and read her other books. I would probably continue to read her, and she's great. I mean, if you just want something that doesn't require you to work that hard, but it's a great distraction, ultimately very entertaining, I would recommend that.
I noticed Lucy Foley has a previous book called The Hunting Party. That could potentially, if it's a murderous mystery, could be rather grim, too.
It is grim, but it's like Agatha Christie grim, you know? Nothing's really graphic. I do want, do you have time for one more?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, I can give you one that's really graphic, but it's so good. And that's Long Bright River by Liz Moore. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of Mystic River by Dennis Lehane. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that Boston was almost a character in Mystic River, Philadelphia, she takes pretty Philadelphia, present-day Philadelphia, in the midst of an opiate crisis. And it's just on the streets. It's about two children, two sisters, again, who one grows up to be a cop, and one grows up to be a drug-addicted prostitute. And the story is a thriller. It's a police procedural, and that's good. But what really transcends it is she has such compassion when she writes about her characters. There's so much compassion about this young woman who is on the streets, and that's how she makes her living. And it's you hear their story is interspersed with she's gone missing. She hasn't seen her sister for a long time, but her sister, since she's a cop, has kind of kept track of her. And then murders of young women start happening in Philadelphia. So I think the compassion, maybe that's just something, you know, that's particularly resonant right now. But good story, and above that, I think it has real literary value, and it was very moving for me.
Let me ask about one more on your list, and this is Redhead by the Side of the Road by Ann Tyler.
Okay, that was one of the first novels I was able to read, too. And I heard an NPR review on it and talked about how this is what you need. This is the book for jangled nerves. And I used to read Ann Tyler all the time, and I kind of stopped reading her. And when I heard the review, I picked it up. And it is just what you need. And it's just been selling like crazy because there's so much goodness in it. It's about an oddball 41-year-old who has a schedule for doing everything and doesn't make a lot of money. Nobody in her characters ever leave the city of Baltimore. And he has a family that's as wild and crazy as any family. And then he gets these events that sort of shake up his life. His girlfriend loses her housing situation and wants to move in with him, and this coddled rich young boy comes and says he thinks that Micah is really his father. So it proceeds along, and it's nothing shocking, but it's well written. It's told with humor, again the word compassion, and it was whoever the NPR reviewer, she was right. It was a great anecdote for jangled nerves.
Right. I noticed the NPR blurb from that same review saying Tyler's novels are always worth scooping up, but especially this gently amusing soother right now,
right.
Which is pretty much what you're saying, too.
Yes.
It's just well-timed
yes.
for you.
Uh-huh.
Sheila, thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange. Sheila Burns is the co-owner of Bloomsbury Books in Ashland, joining us for this week's edition of Summer Reads. Best of luck for the rest of the summer and onward.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. That will do it for today's Jefferson Exchange. We're online at jeffexchange.org. Excuse me. Our producers are John Baxter and Angela Decker of JPR News. Our student assistant, Randy Babbitt, is at the controls today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time on The Exchange. Stay safe and have a great day.